Welcome to the Moon and Back podcast. This is your host, Ocean Pleasant. I invite you to settle in, take the deepest breath you've taken all day as we prepare to tap into the cosmos for some real talk. During our time together, you can expect monthly solo hangs as you and I explore the power of astrology, as well as a monthly guest episode featuring some of my favorite experts on love, wellness, business, and beyond. At the bottom of your next breath, let's dive in. Let's kick this off by addressing the elephant in the room, because there's a ton of misleading information online that fearmongers, right? Because that drives clickbait, which is everywhere on the internet. But you do not need to be afraid of your Saturn return. It's not something to feel apprehensive of, to be worried, to be building up in your mind that something horrible is going to happen or you're going to get backhanded by the universe. So in this episode, we're going to talk about what Saturn represents, what to expect, how long these transits usually last, and we're going to get into the technical back end a bit for anyone curious about how it's calculated, because you may have heard a couple different opinions about the duration of a Saturn transit. So I want to give you a peek behind the curtain so that you can know with absolute certainty how long these things last. If you happen to be someone going through a Saturn transit this year in 2023, I'm going to cover that. I've already calculated the years of everyone who will be affected going back to the 1920s. So if you're under 100 years old and you're going through a Saturn transit this year, I've already done the math for you. You're golden. For anyone else, stick around because I will be talking about Saturn every year. So when your time comes, I've got your back. But for anyone going through it right now, if you want more support, I cover all of this and more in my 2023 Saturn Return Guide. It's a 12-month comprehensive workbook that's easily accessible to support anyone going through one of these transits this year. And it's linked in the episode description. I am not one to gatekeep information, so let's jump into this comprehensive episode. I feel like Saturn needs to hire a PR team for a rebrand because he gets such a bad rap. He is the tough love planet. It can make you cry. There's no beating around the bush. His job is to make sure that you get where you need to go in this lifetime based on the karmic agreement that you signed before you got here. Because Saturn is your life lesson placement. And the house of Saturn is the area of your life where the majority of those lessons are going to play out. I focus on Saturn through the 12 houses in the physical guide, so we're going to focus in this episode on the essence and duration of these transits. It's important to know that everyone's relationship to their life lesson placement is different. You're either going to deeply resonate with the qualities of that sign, or it's going to feel foreign and uncomfortable. It's not an indictment of you or your life if Saturn life lessons feel difficult, but it's emphasizing, hey, this needs to be a priority. Hey, I need you to pay attention to X, Y, and Z. Hey, these patterns that we've been perpetuating through dating the same people, saying yes to the same jobs, ending up in the same situations over and over, Saturn comes to interrupt the feedback loops that do not serve us. So for people who feel comfortable with their Saturn placement, great. But now you're here to learn balance. For people that feel uncomfortable with your Saturn placement, you're here to lean into the growth edge because that's where all the magic happens. Now I want to clear up confusion about how often we go through Saturn transits. They happen much more regularly than you would think. I mean, let's be honest for a moment. Saturn is such a responsible guy. Did you really think he was only going to check in on you every 28 to 30 years? No! The life lesson planet keeps much closer tabs on us, and it explains the major chapters and rhythms of our lives. I like to call them Saturn checkpoints. When you're called into the principal's office or into a quarterly performance review at your job, anytime the powers that be check in on you from time to time to see what's working, what's not working, everything you're doing really well, maybe where you're struggling, what needs to change, it's those moments where we either get rewarded or reviewed and challenged in order to point us in the right direction. And that's all a Saturn return is. But we do have several checkpoints that kind of contribute to building up into those more significant turning points every 30 years. Since the word return implies that Saturn travels through all the other signs back to where it was the moment you were born, that takes a lot of time. And based on transit math, we know that you're going to be affected by Saturn in the process of getting back to where it started. I'm going to briefly describe how we calculate it so that you know the divine timing of the rhythm of your life and how in sync you are with what you came here to do, even when it's hard, okay? Every time Saturn moves 90 degrees, that's another transit. In astrology, these are what we call squares and oppositions. They create a tension and dialogue at each checkpoint for whatever we need to be focusing on at that point in our lives, where we're either elevated in our life lesson or we're challenged based on how conscious and active we remain in the face of our unique life lesson. So when you're born, that's home base. Then approximately 7 years later, that's your first square. Then about age 14, that's your first Saturn opposition, which is a coming of age time. And about 7 to 8 years later, that is about age 21, right? That's the first Saturn cycle that you experience as an adult. So people typically have a lot of stories of graduating college, their first major breakup, their first job, right? Age 21 is a big one. And then the full return, age 29 to 30, about 7 years later, which is a culmination of everything you've learned up until that point. And then the cycle repeats. And that's why ages 36, 44, 51, 59, give or take a year, are all significant chapters of our lives in those, 7 to 8 year increments of time. It's different for everyone, and I'm going to get into how it's calculated. But I want you to think about what happened in your last cycle, right? Ages 14, 21, 29, 36, 44, 51, 59, so on and so forth. What was going on in your life at the time? What were the most significant events, the highs and the lows, that stand out? And how did it change your life? Even if it sucked, even if it was like the armpit year of your life, I'm guessing you still learned something in retrospect. Even if it's the simple fact that you would never date someone like that again, or stay in a job where you were underappreciated, or betray your intuition, or the way that you dealt with a huge loss, whatever came out of that year was significant. The reasons those increments of Saturn moving 90 degrees are influential is because signs that are 90 degrees apart in the zodiac are all part of the same modality. We've got cardinal, fixed, and mutable, three modes, four signs in each mode, totaling 12 total signs. You can think of the modes like family trees. Just like families, they have things in common, but they also bump heads. They're here to encourage each other to grow, to learn with each other. They create the necessary tension of the zodiac to keep us activated in our lives. If everything was easy, life would be incredibly boring. If there was no motivating tension in a birth chart or in transits to encourage us to step outside of our comfort zone, to get us to acknowledge hard truths, to get us to reach beyond what we might be comfortable reaching for, imagine how boring life would be if we didn't have those cosmic nudges. This means that when Saturn enters a new sign, it's not just affecting that one sign. It's also aspecting the other signs in that mode at the same degree. So when Saturn enters 0 degrees Pisces, anyone with 0 degrees in the same mode, which is Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius, are also going to feel a Saturn transit in different ways. My guidebook for 2023 describes the life lesson for all four of those signs, but it is specifically a workbook for anyone with Saturn between 0 and 10 degrees in Gemini, Virgo, Sag, and especially Pisces. So if you qualify there, then it might be useful for you to have a workbook that goes through this entire process. So because I've got Mars in Virgo, I'm not just going to let you sit there wondering if that applies to you. I've already calculated all the birth years of everyone going through a Saturn transit this year. So definitely still double check online what your Saturn placement is. But if you're curious if it could apply to you, anyone born in 2007 to 2008, those kids are about 14 right now. This is their first Saturn opposition. Anyone born in 2001, this is your first Saturn square as an adult. Anyone born in 1994, this is your first Saturn return if you were born in 1994 with Saturn up to 10 degrees Pisces. And then we go into the rhythm of the squares and oppositions, 1985-86, 78-79, 71-72, 64-65, 56-57, 48-49, 42-43, 1935-36, 26-27, 1919-1920. Those are all of the birth years that are very likely going through a Saturn transit in 2023. Now that we have a fundamental understanding of what Saturn is and how often it happens, let's talk about how long it lasts. You might have heard conflicting opinions about this, and I'm hoping to clear up some of this confusion. So if you haven't already, Google your natal Saturn, check an app, check your chart, identify the sign and degree of Saturn. 2023 is specifically relevant to anyone with Saturn between 0 and 10 degrees of Pisces, obviously, but also Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius, because now we know how the modes work. The length of your transit is based on the sign and degree. Anyone who acts like it's one size fits all has either generalized for the sake of simplicity or just doesn't know how to do space math, but it is slightly different for every single person. The average I've observed after training to do these calculations and hearing hundreds of Saturn return stories is that they last between 11 and 16 months on average, depending on the individual. But how do we calculate that? It's important to remember that the foundation of astrology is mathematical. You know, interpreting what the signs are and what it all means, that's the interpretive part of astrology, which is beautiful because it means that everyone is going to have a slightly different opinion and synthesis of what to expect. And that's what makes it amazing. You can talk to 10 different astrologers and get 10 different flavors about what your chart means. But every astrologer should be looking at the same math. Right? 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5 just because you talk to a different astrologer. Hopefully. So, the duration of a transit is a science. It is widely recognized that transits are allotted a 3-degree radius, which means 3 degrees leading up to and after your natal degree is when you feel a transit. Not the entire time it's in that sign. And I think that's why some people believe a Saturn return lasts between 2 to 3 years. That's the entire time Saturn is in one sign, but that's not the duration of being personally affected. So here's another way to understand it. Imagine someone you know is passing through town. You might know when they've landed at the airport, but you don't know specifically where they are, if they stop for coffee, who they see before they get to your house. All you know is when they arrive on your doorstep. You can hear them as they're walking up the steps to your front door, and obviously when they're sitting in your living room, catching up, telling you a story, and then you can see them as they walk back down to the curb and they hug you goodbye, but once they leave your field of vision, you're not feeling their touch or hearing their voice anymore. Just because you know that they are in your city doesn't mean you're going to see them again. Once the visit has concluded, they move on to see other people. Transits work the same way. Just because Saturn is entering Pisces doesn't mean everyone with Saturn in Pisces is going to feel their return start right away. He's only popping up on the doorstep of people 0 to 7 degrees Pisces, which means degrees 8, 9, and 10 will notice that he's entered the neighborhood, They might see the headlights or hear the honking in the distance as they are now within 3 degrees, but he's got a lot more stops to make before reaching someone, say, at 27 degrees Pisces. So over the course of the average 11 to 15 months that people feel them, Saturn may exit your transit radius for bursts of time as it goes retrograde, but it's not a stop and start kind of experience. Once Saturn gets the ball rolling, you are in an initiation chapter of your life. So Saturn might bounce back and forth across your transit radius, but we give you an entire year to feel and consider what's going on, because Saturn transits don't conclude until it is decisively outside your transit radius, moving forward without looking back. So how do we know all of this? Astrologers have a book called The Ephemeris. It tracks the movement of every planet down to the day and degree, and it goes back hundreds of years and can be looked pretty far into the future as well. And that's how we track transits. And it's why even the difference of a couple degrees could make two people have transits at very different lengths, based on when you're born and when your degree overlaps with Saturn in the future. You may not be at the degree where Saturn goes through a retrograde, so your transit might be kind of a one-and-done, more streamlined approach. Someone born a couple months after you, even though they've got Saturn in the same sign, they might be a degree that overlaps with a retrograde, which means Saturn is going to put the car in reverse and drive past their house several times before leaving the neighborhood, right? For some people, it can feel like Saturn overstays his welcome. And so that's why some people have longer returns. If you happen to overlap with a retrograde, he's going to take his time walking out the door. Sometimes up to 3 times Saturn can go retrograde in one sign. So it depends on the degree. That's why it's mathematical. If you're tired of the math, I don't blame you. Let's go into what Saturn means in each of the 12 signs. At this point, hopefully you're aware of whether or not 2023 is another checkpoint for you. So my guidebook has over 50 pages dedicated to supporting you through this year, including reflections, journal prompts, check-ins, ways to prioritize, ways to stay conscious of what comes up and how to deal with it. Access that guidebook in the bio if that's of interest. And now we're going to talk about Saturn through the signs. Again, this is a life lesson that's either going to feel comfortable or foreign. So you're either here to accomplish balance and know when to pull back a bit, or where to turn up the heat, where to push the growth edge. Okay? So, Saturn in Aries. This is a life lesson that revolves around independence. You're either very comfortable standing on your own 2 feet and going off on your own, or independence terrifies you and it's hard to stand your ground. So are you either here to turn up the heat or bring it back down to a simmer so that you're not burning bridges for the sake of convenience? Saturn in Taurus is a life lesson to learn how to go at your own pace, to stop comparing to other people, making decisions based in scarcity or lack mindset, feeling like you have to fix things and that your worth is determined by things outside of yourself. Saturn in Taurus is here to self-liberate by going, I have permission to take this life at my own pace, whatever that means for me. Saturn in Gemini, I guess simply put, you're here to get your mind in order, to not get so easily distracted that you leave things half-baked and you feel insecure, that you're a jack of all trades, master of none, right? That's the worst case scenario, is that you feel really spread thin by your curiosity and you wonder if you'll ever truly master something. It's not about limiting your versatility. The invitation is to go, where can I set incremental goals for myself, follow through, commit to them, get it done, and then give myself permission to change my mind? But it's important that you have a paper trail of following through so that you can build a life that feels truly aligned and isn't just based on the whims of the moment. Saturn in Cancer is about healing the emotional body. It's very common for people with this placement to have either a mother wound, family karma, attachment style issues. And it's really about going, how can I be who I needed when I was younger? How can I rise to the occasion and heal the parts of me that weren't properly nourished or seen as a child, which is not an indictment of your parents. Astrology reminds us that multiple things can be true at once, but on some level, you're here to heal something that's been tracking you since childhood. And it could be really helpful to keep a clean home because your environment deeply influences your state of mind. So decluttering, if you have a tendency to hoard or hold on to things, or if you swing the other way and you're kind of more emotionally shut off, is there anything that you're avoiding by compartmentalizing? Is there emotional bypassing occurring so that you don't have to do the work, so that you don't have to go back to those times of hurt and abandonment? It's important that you heal those things in this life so that you can break the karmic cycle for future generations. Saturn in Leo, you're here to learn how to take up space. You might suffer from imposter syndrome. You might be afraid of failure and being judged and ostracized. So you're either super confident in what you do or you're a total wallflower. Saturn placements go either way, right? But Saturn in Leo, it's not so much a fear of taking up space, it's a fear of being judged. It's a fear of not having all your shit together, falling on your face, and feeling like you're a failure, or you let someone down, or you didn't perform as well as you knew you were capable of. You can find your way back to your life purpose by centering your joy. It might even require looking back in time to anything you enjoyed as a kid that you've stopped doing somewhere along the way, and really play with that inner child and go, you know what? I have permission to try, to be seen trying, to fall on my face, to get back up again. I am worthy. I am validated just by existing, and I don't need anybody to do that for me. Saturn in Virgo. Your fulfillment comes when you are of service. Like, you want to be helpful, but not just by giving unsolicited advice and trying to fix people's problems. You want to be helpful on a big scale. You want to go to bed at night feeling like you contributed to something larger than yourself. So right off the bat, recognizing, especially this year while Saturn is in Pisces, depending, of course, on your degree, you're entering a chapter of life where you figure out how to find true fulfillment through service, either taking your business to the next level, quitting your job, starting a coaching practice, leaving your job to go volunteer or travel the world, or figure out where the true meaning lies for you. That's so important for Saturn in Virgo to go, I don't have to earn love, I don't have to fix things, but I know that my purpose is tied into service. Saturn in Libra is a life lesson that revolves around relationship. You either can't stand the idea of commitment, or you've literally never been single since high school, and it's been one partner after the next. You're either afraid of being alone, or you're terrified by the idea of being tied down. The extremes of Libra are that whether you sink into relationship or you avoid relationship, both are just different ways of coping with the quality of relationship you have with yourself. You are here to master the art of balance in relationships, which is why other people and your relationship to other people is where a lot of your life lessons play out. Whenever you feel faced with indecision or trying to keep the peace or trying to make everyone happy, you just need to scale back out and go, what do I want? What's going to bring me peace? What do I need? Permission to make decisions with yourself in mind, but don't isolate yourself from the world if you are one of those anti-commitment folks. It's time to get real about why relationships do or don't jive with you. Saturn in Scorpio, these folks typically have life experience or karmic stories around paranoia, betrayal, some kind of trauma, whether it be physical, psychological, sexual, emotional trauma. There's sometimes emotional bypassing that happens because of how heavy and intense it could feel to acknowledge the shadow, to do the work in the subconscious, to do the work in the psyche. And so as a result, You might be like a happy-go-lucky person who doesn't want to have the hard conversations, or you're stuck in the water. You're stuck in the pain, and it's very hard to get out. Wherever you fall on that spectrum of either collapsing into the emotional body or avoiding it, I want you to know that your power is in your ability to do the work, to be authentic, to own your vulnerability, and that being vulnerable does not expose you to weakness, to rejection, and that the right people are going to stay in your life no matter what your story is, no matter what you've been through. And that's so important to remember, that you're doing yourself a disservice by not doing the work. Saturn in Sagittarius. These are folks who sometimes have a grass is greener mindset, kind of always moving on to the next thing, the next thing, the next place, the next person, the next job opportunity. But you're here to learn how to create a life that you don't feel like you have to escape from. You're a truth speaker. You speak truth to power. You're here to get comfortable being blunt and honest for the sake of transformation. So you might feel really uncomfortable speaking your truth and being honest, and you might avoid hard conversations because you're like, I don't know how to be honest to this person. Or you're really blunt and you have no filter, and it's easy to be honest, but it's harder to be soft. Whatever side of Sag you skew to, how can you create a life that you don't need to escape from? How can you find radical love through radical honesty? Is it love if you're lying to yourself? Is it love if you're lying to them? Is it love if you're being so blunt that you're not taking into account their heart? With fire Saturns, you're either on high heat or you're on simmer, and we need to find somewhere in the middle, right? Otherwise, the food's gonna burn or it's never gonna get cooked. Saturn in Capricorn. Now, this is a funny one to me because they either feel super focused with a very clear life plan, or they're late bloomers and they're always beating themselves up about, I haven't done enough, I don't have a 401k, my big brother has done more than me, and my sister's on Wall Street, and I'm a barista. And it's like the weirdest story of self-deprecation you've ever heard can come from Saturn in Capricorn people. Or they're super high achieving and they're always crushing it and they're constantly putting the goalpost further and further back. Saturn in Capricorn is the lesson of sovereignty. You're here to be the boss of your own life, energetically, financially, spiritually, emotionally. So either you're already really comfortable being your own boss, or it's something you desire but are afraid you're not capable of. I'm here to tell you that you are capable. And it starts in the small ways. It's how can you show up for yourself, be your own best advocate on a daily basis, right? If your higher self was your boss, what would you be doing differently in your daily routine, in the way that you set goals, in the way that you hold yourself accountable? Start somewhere. It doesn't have to be overnight. Saturn in Aquarius is a life lesson to find personal liberation. Sometimes I notice that Saturn in Aquarius people sometimes grew up in a religious institution that they later felt the need to differentiate themselves from, to find their own belief systems, to pave their own path, and ultimately find themselves in more of a spiritual identity. Because Aquarius is freedom, right? It's the rebel, right? It's ruled by Uranus, the planet of rebellion and change and innovation. So nobody is going to be able to tell you what to do in this lifetime, but you're either afraid of being different, or your freak flag is wide and high and tall for everyone to see. It goes either way. Are you afraid of being rejected for being different? Are you hiding your spiritual interests and gifts? Are you playing a part to stay fitting in with your family and friends that you've outgrown? Or have you done the self-liberation? Are you living in your truth? Are you showing up authentically? Are you owning all of your witchy, esoteric, woo-woo interests? That is the spectrum here of Aquarius. And it's going, where can I self-liberate? Where can I give myself the freedom of using the word no as a complete sentence? Where am I learning to really let my freak flag fly and find community based on what sets me apart instead of playing a part to fit in where I no longer belong? Finally, Saturn in Pisces. This is the lesson of emotional boundaries, specifically of either feeling so victimized by your inner world that you have no boundaries and you collapse into other people and you're so sensitive that everything feels like 0 to 10, impossible to overcome, or feeling so emotionally compartmentalized and cut off from your feelings because that's what feels comfortable and safe. To be in control means to dilute the emotional body and to ignore it or to bypass it. You'll notice that people with Saturn in Pisces are either extremely rational or extremely debilitated by the emotional body. With boundaries comes the ability to be emotionally dialed in, spiritually attuned, without becoming other people, losing yourself in relationship, cutting off from your heart entirely. Pisces is the shapeshifter. It's the astrological chameleon. So the life lesson can sometimes feel like it comes after the fact. If you look back at your past Saturn checkpoints, did the lesson kind of feel like it had a delay, like it hit you after it all happened? It can sometimes feel a little foggy, right? Because it's ruled by Neptune. But the goal here is to go, what is the distance at which I can love myself and others simultaneously? How can I protect my emotional and psychic world so that anything that I take on is a deliberate choice and I'm not just a sponge sopping up everything around me? Because that's what makes it debilitating. Without emotional boundaries, Pisces becomes the world around them. And then that's why they feel the need to escape. Not because they're just naturally prone to drugs and alcohol, but because this world is harsh. This world is cruel at times. And when a Pisces doesn't have boundaries, when Saturn in Pisces has no boundaries, it says yes to too many things. It does too much for other people. It's the martyr, the bleeding heart, the activist who doesn't take time for themselves. It is someone who's here to take care of their own internal world, so that they can properly be the vessel that they desire to be. No matter what sign your Saturn is in, there are always nuances in the birth chart that change the conversation. Aspects to Saturn are a dialogue. It's what Saturn affects in the rest of your chart, how Saturn talks to the other parts of your chart. So oppositions create this conversation, this constant balancing act, mirroring two different parts of you. So Saturn oppositions sometimes reveal where we're hard on ourselves, where we need to have more discernment, where we're really focused and conscious and, you know, kind of not the party pooper, but Saturn oppositions really reveal where we take a firm stance on things a lot of the time. Conjunctions are when planets are sitting side by side, blending the energy of the two things. Saturn conjunctions can add discernment. They kind of, whatever Saturn touches, it makes more serious, more grounded, kind of a stickler. Like Saturn conjunct the sun is someone very committed, very strong work ethic, very high standards for themselves, very high expectations of the world around them. They mean business. They can't do anything halfway because discernment is the name of the game when Saturn is blended with something else. Squares are tension that we need to grow, but it can feel frustrating. So whenever there's a Saturn square in the chart, it's going, what is this resistance trying to teach me? Why does this feel hard? Why am I being asked to learn this? Right? Sometimes Saturn square the sun can feel like waiting for the other shoe to drop, feeling like you're never good enough, like you're never going to be the person that you want to be, right? Because it's that critical voice of Saturn negging the identity, going, yeah, but, you know, you kind of failed that quiz and look at that pattern that's still going on. You didn't really do anything about that. And you're dating the same guy that you were dating when you were 20 and nothing has changed. And it can feel like you can't catch a break when there's a square because it's frustrating. The lesson is, oh my gosh, if I can give myself anything, may I give myself grace. That's the lesson of a Saturn square. So here are some affirmations, whether you're going through a Saturn transit this year or not, because Saturn life lessons are all about how we can pick up on the lesson on a daily basis. Think of a Saturn transit as the SATs. If you just showed up with a pencil on the day of the test, you would get your ass whooped. you would flunk that quiz so hard that no college would touch you. But if you study, if you paced yourself, if you made time to prioritize the work beforehand, then you ace the quiz and you've got all of these opportunities in front of you because you did the work. That's all a Saturn transit is. It's a review of how well you've been doing the work, how consistently you've been answering the call up until that point. On a daily basis, where can you notice your Saturn life lesson coming up, being provoked, being explored? Every time you push the growth edge for yourself, even if it's as simple as setting a boundary and canceling plans that you don't want to go to, or telling someone no, the culmination of all of those little moments is what creates the path. At the heart of it all, Saturn is the living proof that we are perfectly on time in our own lives. It's important that we take every daily opportunity to answer the call of our life lesson, down to those micro examples of just setting boundaries with family and only saying yes to plans that feel exciting and making sure that we're honoring the life lesson on the micro, because the culmination of those examples is what determines the macro, the big transits. Some people have a harder time than others, and some people, you know, sign book deals and meet the loves of their lives and get married and have kids, and it really depends. It's not an indictment of the individual. It's just going, starting right now, in this moment, how conscious am I of my life lesson on a daily basis? And the more we practice it, the more we set ourselves up for success the next time Saturn shows up on our doorstep. My Saturn affirmations are, I am committed to my highest self. I invite lessons for my highest good that are learned swiftly and with ease. I am present, willing, and able to rise to the occasion when it is presented to me. I work in collaboration with my karma. I trust the divine timing of my own life to get me where I need to be. So blessed be, so it is, and ever was. I hope today brought you clarity on what to expect for the biggest years of your life ahead, and maybe some peace of mind as you reflect back on those turning points in the past with a little more compassion for yourself and maybe a greater trust in the process. To the moon and back, I'm your host, Ocean Pleasant. Thank you so much for being in my orbit.